This is Phil Pritchett. Welcome to the P2 Podcast.
There's never been a better time than right now to be a musician.
Jenny hit Austin.
My name's Phil, and I just want to play rock and roll, man.
Tougher than the rest.
Mona Lisa, move closer. I'm scared tonight. I watched the news this evening and there's much to fear.
Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast, coming to you from beautiful Fort Worth, Texas. Trinidad World Recording Studios, my studio here in Fort Worth. Come record. Call me, 817-733-5256. Or email me, phil@philpritchett.com. Tell me what kind of record you want to make. Come record in Fort Worth, or book Phil Pritchett and the full band. We'll come play for you anywhere. A club, a festival, your backyard barbecue, whatever. Well, just like last week, coming off last week, I feel a little disconcerted a bit. Our last show was a little disjointed. It was a retrospective of the year that was. You know, I come in here and do these podcasts. I'm always a little planned out. We got topics to discuss, things that are happening. And I feel like last week and now this week, this is kind of a vacation, a respite. You know, I have the feeling that Kurt South and I are just, you know, sitting in a lawn chair on a beach with a cold beer. We're just reflecting on hard work. Basking in the reality that 1 year ago, all the fans out there listening to the podcast didn't have this show to listen to. They just bickered amongst themselves.
We had more fans a year ago. We've lost some in the process.
That is not true. Unfortunately not true.
So are you saying that we're just going freeform jazz on this one?
On this, I just felt like we sort of jumped around on topics last time. We weren't talking about an album. We weren't talking about an issue. We were just sort of chatting. That's sort of the atmosphere we've had going here the last couple of weeks.
As we sit down
here and do our year-end retrospective, things that stood out during the year. So join us, won't you? Put your feet up, grab a beer, lounge on the beach as the sun goes down, and just talk about the year that was. We're gonna dig a hole here in the sand. Get a little fire going for later. You know, cook a few steaks out.
So is it just you and I on the beach alone?
No, that's creepy.
Well, that's what I'm asking.
Our wives will be hanging out a little bit later on, you know. Okay. Kids will be building some sandcastles.
All right.
Few friends coming by, you know, with some logs for the fire, a cheesecake, you know, a bowl of chips.
John Reynolds close by photographing us.
That's right.
Candidly.
That's right. Candidly to put up on Facebook, you know, and share our great times with everyone. Well, man, last week, Kurt was, I had the great pleasure of meeting I was playing the Aardvark over there on Berry Street. I've been playing there on Tuesday nights, trying to. I got canceled this Tuesday. They called and said, we don't think anyone's showing up, Phil. Then, you know, don't worry about it. So that was humbling.
Kicking the balls.
It kind of was a kicking the balls. Well, it's early in the week, Tuesday, so some nights they got some TCU kid playing in there. So I'll jump up and play and work the room. It's a great time. So if some bookings fall through, they're like, don't worry about it kind of thing. So it's a casual neighborhood jam every Tuesday at the Aardvark in Fort Worth. So, but I get a call from, I meet a kid up there who's going to school at TCU. Hard-hitting beat reporter what's the paper? The Skiff.
The Skiff.
The Daily Skiff. He says, man, Phil, I want to interview you for this article I'm going to do about you living in Fort Worth, doing this radio thing and being a musician and all that. And what a great kid. Josh Davis, he writes
a
column.
Very nice guy.
Very nice. Wanted to come to the studio. He comes in here. And I've done several. I had Mario Terradell sitting right where you are, South, from the Dallas Morning News.
Don't ever let anybody else sit on this couch.
Okay, I need to. I need to, like, put some plastic covering on it.
If they knew what I did in this couch, they wouldn't want to sit here anyway.
Well, before when he sat down, I said, Mini Mountain, I want to sit there. He's like, why? I'm like, oh, never mind.
Throw those pants away when you get home. give us a call, folks.
Gotta be careful taking a swig of my Dr. Pepper. It'll come out of my nose with Kurt South sitting here. No, but so Josh comes over. Terradell, he wouldn't talk about the album. Why does this compare to your other work? Blah, blah, blah. You know, great interview kind of thing. You know, you get 30 minutes of your time. But let me tell you, this Davis kid comes in here. He's in depth. We sit in there for an hour, 2 hours. He's full of questions, asking me deep questions.
He's thorough. He's good.
Thorough. He's real doing good. I hope this thing in like two paragraphs long, I'm going to be disappointed. I'm like, this sounds like an epic feature, like somebody would follow somebody around.
It's going to be a three-part investigative story, like on
2020. I was in trust trying to give him some. So he said, man, is there somebody else I can call who might have some take, some perspective on what you're about, what you're doing here in Fort Worth?
I can't believe you gave him my name.
Well, I gave him like 14 other guys' names first. Then I finally got to, I'm just kidding. I said, I go, man, call, you know, South. He goes, well, Kurt does the podcast, and he's recorded here. And I said, oh, yeah. Here's his number. Of course, he emails me back. His mailbox is full. His phone's been disconnected due to, you know, negligence of his account. I'm like, look, the only way to reach him is just to, you know, drive over to his house and kind of bang on his door. So he did. He did contact you. What did he call? This was like just a couple days ago.
Well, did he really email you and tell you that he couldn't get in touch with me?
Yeah, he goes, man, it must be the wrong number. My mailbox
is always full. If anyone ever calls me,
why don't you just delete your messages? Okay. You pridefully keep it full.
I just don't want to mess with it. Don't ever leave me a message. I'm not going to listen to it. It's one more thing I have to do, and it drives me crazy. He called, and I was like changing a diaper, I think, when he called. And so, of course, I wasn't able to answer the phone. And then 6 seconds later, I get this panic text from you going, hey, this guy's going to be calling you to answer the phone.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there was hardly any time elapsed between him trying to call me and him saying that
he was on the beach. He was hounding me. He wanted quotes. He had a deadline to meet.
I called him back from the time that I missed his call to the time that I called him back. Maybe 40 seconds elapsed.
So you get this guy on the phone. He bothers you at your house. I'm not saying he's bothering you, but he's investigative reporting.
It's his first mistake, but I let it go.
Wow. Nice kid. Real nice kid. I wouldn't have given him your number if I thought he was going to whip your ass on something.
No, he
didn't. I said, man, call Kurt. He talked to you.
I was very skeptical at first.
But I got to tell you, I've never had anyone ask or go cross-quote. I've had a couple times where articles come out and I was been surprised that they've gone and talked to like one of my old teachers. I had a guy once go talk to my old drama teacher or something.
Old girlfriends.
Like yeah. No. There's none of those, really. Sadly, it's a sad history, but non-existent.
Now we're really delving into the mind of Phil.
That's right. Yeah, there's really not much of a checkered past. Like
Hallie Pritchett, you were the one and the only.
The one and only. My wife, absolutely. So, yeah. So I admit I was pretty curious. So this guy calls you. What did he? So he's delving.
He just said, man, I'm working on this story about Phil, and he mentioned that. And
I love how it's not about, like, Texas music or Fort Worth. It's about Phil.
It's about Phil.
Like,
so
it's about me. I love
immediately, I was.
And how is he able to play at the Aardvark for three people at this? I mean, it's amazing.
And I try not to do interviews.
I know you don't.
But I was intrigued. Or
the press. Yeah, I abhor the press.
No, he was. I immediately liked him though because he was very professional. He seemed like he was, you know.
Oh, man.
He's
very,
a frog,
very
man. I help out the fellow frog.
That's right, fellow frog. Kurt South, an alum.
So he just said, man, I'm doing this thing on Phil. And after I giggled and wet my pants, I said, okay, keep going. And he said, man, I just want to kind of ask you some questions about what's it like knowing Phil, being his friend, playing with him. What about his family? Let's talk about his family. And I said, well, what do you mean? What do you want to talk about his family? Well, you know, do you know a lot about him? And you know, he said, Phil really wouldn't say much about him. And I said, well, you know, Phil is not going to say much about him. I'm not either, you know.
My family, is he talking about those two kids that claim to be mine in the Dominican Republic?
Yes.
Oh, there's God, those. Not that again.
Yeah. God. No, but he, you know, he asked if I knew your family. And
right,
well,
right.
And I said, well, you know, honestly, I haven't spent a lot of time with you and your family in tow.
He was very intrigued with the whole aspect of being some sort of guy on the road and rock and roll, and also balancing the family deal.
This is where it got interesting, yeah. Man. Because then he turned his gun on me, and he goes, "Well, what about you? You know, you have
what kind
a family?
Of past do you have?"
And then he asked me pointedly, "Well, you know, were you kind of wild and crazy back before you had a family?" And I just kind of paused and I said,
I hope I get a call from him wanting to corroborate some quotes from you.
I said, well, yeah, yes, I guess. Yeah. You know,
where is this going?
You could ask some, if you hunted around and looked in the right places, you could probably get a story or two from people. Go armed when you go into these places.
There's a book being written now.
But, you know, he asked me a little bit about that. He asked me about, you know, what's it like for guys like you and Phil to, you know, balancing, you know, family life with playing live. And,
yeah,
and
right,
how did
right.
you make that transition mm-hmm. from being just a crazy idiot mm-hmm. into being the responsible father of two? And we talked a lot about, you know, playing with you, what that was like. I just said, man, you know, it's not rehearsed.
Yes.
You know, sometimes you just stand there and watch, and you wait and jump in when you know he's coming around to the note that you're familiar with. And we talked about the moon days. We talked about how you and I actually met at the moon.
Yeah, that was recounted early on this podcast. Maybe episode one. I talked about that guy at the first table falling out of his stool and going into the running to the bathroom every 5 minutes.
yes, that was Gordon McCoskey.
Then as I'm playing, I go, man, I'm playing this gig for one guy out here. It turns out it's Kurt South. And then you just proceed to follow me to my van, which was very
I
creepy.
I had every intention
you were staggering. You're like missing a shoe. You just kind of come walking out there. Then you just produce like $80 in cash, and you buy like 8 T-shirts and
I did.
I'm just like, dude, you really want this stuff? He goes, you give it all to me. I'm a big fan. I love Heritage Way. And then that creeped me out even more.
Then you knew I was lying because I claimed to love Heritage Way.
Right.
I see, I had every intention of actually hitting you over the head and taking your wallet that night. That was my original plan.
That was my thought when I walked out. Yeah. I was loading out. I was like, oh, my God. Take my money. I almost threw my wallet on the ground.
But then I thought, man, he's such a meek and gentle guy. I'd really feel bad about mugging him and taking his wallet. Oh. And really, it would have been worth it for the $14.
Well, I'm going to turn this guy loose on you. We're going to do a Kurt South story next week.
Well, he said.
Yeah, so what did he say?
He said that he'll call back and maybe follow up and get some clarifications on some stuff. But do you want to talk about the hard-hitting question he asked of me?
Well, what was the, he asked some good questions, man.
He did. This is what really impressed me because most interviewers,
They're softballs.
Yeah, man, they're just lobbing up.
Where'd you start playing?
Yeah, and no one cares about that. Yeah, you know. What they really want to know is what he asked.
Right. What's that?
He goes, man, Phil is friends with a lot of guys.
Yes.
Who are famous. Or big time, you know, they do big tours, they make a lot of money, sell a lot of records. Phil's been around just as long as they have. Pause for effect. Why isn't he one of them?
That answer, when we come back.
Nowhere else to go. I'm content to be right here and stay. Somewhere a poet was writing.
Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. Phil Pritchett here on the year-end P2 Podcast Retrospective. 1 year ago, folks, you were out there aimlessly wandering around online, just getting bludgeoned by bands that suck and some that are pretty good. Just looking for some guidance, somebody to call out the masses and just to give some perspective on what they're dealing with out there. How the music is made, at least in our orbits. The P2 podcast was born, folks.
Was.
Wow, a year ago. Well, Kurt South is going to answer that age-old question. See, I think this might strike some people as odd. I think some people do think I'm big.
Well,
so yeah, I know what you're saying. But his question was very poignant.
You're not on Letterman.
No. He's talking like
you're not selling out Billy Bob.
You know, Gary Pinon, the other podcast said that Jerry Jeff was the biggest thing in Texas, early 70s. He said, man, that's really before even like Willie took off and Waylon Jennings and all those guys. Hell, those guys used to open for us. I just said, man, that's what I say about everybody, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And indeed I did, you know, everybody from Ragweed to Randy Rogers. Or the first time I met him was playing in front of me at some show.
It is true. Eli Young. That you were very, very smarmy to Cody Canada when they opened up for you.
Oh, boy.
Oh, you mistreated
them.
That's
BS.
You mistreated them.
That is just BS.
Maybe it is. I don't know.
He's making that up.
I probably am.
Why else would he have sang Willin' with me years ago?
Money.
Huh? Yeah, the money.
The money and a free Dr. Pepper. The money and the prestige.
So that's the age-old question. And it kind of goes back to your last episode talking about Matt Powell. Why isn't Matt Powell Roger Craiger? I hope that's in the category.
Well,
Pritch is not a star, and he doesn't have any talent.
I paused before answering this question because at first I thought about softballing it to him.
It's so great that this question has now gotten into the press.
Yeah.
And now they're asking themselves the same thing.
So, but then finally I just said, man, I'm going to be real frank with you in answering this question.
Oh, no. This is going to be the headline.
And I could hear him giggling and scrambling, going, oh, you're right.
We're about to get tape recorder ready.
We're about to get South unplugged here.
Why is it Pritchett selling out the Astros?
And I basically gave the same answer that I did for Matt Powell or any of those guys. Man, Phil does not give a darn about doing anything other than making the music he wants to make, playing for his fans, and being his own cottage industry.
I think that's true. Yes.
Outside of that, and we talked a lot about how you are not a real outgoing guy.
Yeah.
Outside of your close circle of friends.
Right. Right.
And how you are not, you're not a social butterfly at all.
You can
turn me loose in a room of strangers.
Oh,
and
dude.
You've seen me work.
Dude, I saw Kurt South work magic like I've never seen in North Carolina.
Hey, well,
that was impressive. Because that was a big party where I was the guest of honor because I'd played the deal a couple years, King Fest. But Kurt South shows up. He's just drinking local beer, extolling the virtues of Virginia ham with all the locals.
Just talking.
It was like, man, South, I feel like I've known him my whole life. I'm like, he's just working the room. Well, I appreciate that answer.
I think it's true.
I'd be lying to you if it hadn't occurred to me, because it's impossible in any business where you just, you're pounding away and stuff. Yeah, and you see some other guy just getting, he's just flying around on a jet, and you're just like, well. And I don't ask it as much of myself because I know the reasons like you do.
Yeah.
It's just when people come up to me, like this reporter or other fans, and just say, man, Phil, how come you're not playing the Astrodome, man, with Ragweed? I don't have an answer for it. I'm just like, I don't know. But
for better or worse, you're very content existing in your own – you're in Phil world all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm guilty of the same thing with just – I make myself happy.
Right.
I have a list of things that I do and don't want to do, and I adhere to it for the most part.
Yeah.
And what I told him was the reason I think a guy like you or me chooses music as a profession is there's a certain amount of freedom involved.
That's right.
And then the higher up the ladder you go of quote-unquote success, you start trading that freedom and you start compromising in order to get to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, if you don't have the freedom, in my opinion, and I think in yours, then there isn't a whole lot of point of going through the stuff you have to go through in order to have a career in music.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be said by people to go, man, that's a real cop-out. Why you're not familiar. Maybe you just suck. Maybe I do just suck. But the point is, the point is that I'm content and you are content to a certain extent with creating your own reality, answering to no one. Because we don't answer. We answer to our wives and that's it.
Yeah.
There's no, I got to go tell my manager this or run it by him. I don't run anything by anyone and neither do you.
Yeah, right.
And you like working that way, I think.
Yeah.
And yes,
sure.
You could do things and make more money or have more visibility. Mm-hmm. But all those things come at a price, and it's not always monetary.
They do.
You know, I would love to make $300,000 or $400,000 a year. I only make $200,000 a year right now.
You're getting by.
I would love.
You're scraping by.
No. I would love to make a lot more money because, you know, honestly, there are a lot of times when financially this business can be an absolute drain. But I also look at the amount of control that I have and that you have over your own life and your business, and there isn't a price that can be put on that. And I'm not saying that at some point I might not be willing to compromise something in exchange for something else, but those are very measured steps that I don't take lightly and I don't think you take lightly.
Absolutely.
And I'm not saying that the people who are bigger and more famous took them lightly either. Right. I'm just saying that is a process and there are things involved that unless you're in the business, you don't understand them.
Right.
And, you know, I get people who ask me, man, why do you just play Fred's all the time? Why do you do this? Because I get paid well.
Yeah, that's right.
I enjoy it. I'm 30 minutes from my house, and I see my kids all the time.
Yeah, right.
End of the story.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I could be out there on the road all the time, which I used to do.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, for the record, it sucks. It sucks. Okay?
Once you've given up all the drugs and drinking, it's no good.
Well, the 2 hours that you're on stage playing it, hopefully playing
it. Yeah, can be.
Hopefully
yeah,
playing in front of an appreciative audience.
Absolutely.
Which is about half the time if you're lucky.
Right.
That's awesome. But, man, what you have to go through to
getting there
get to 4 that,
o'clock. And
dude,
just,
it
yeah,
sucks. There's nothing about it that makes me just go, hey, man, this is why I got into music. No, in fact, my passion for music, and I would say your passion mm-hmm. for music, have very little to do with all the stuff you have to go through business-wise.
Yeah.
And if either you or I quit doing the music business tomorrow, doesn't mean we feel any less passionate about music. It could also mean we feel so passionate about music that we don't want to sully it with anything as bad as the business side
yeah,
of it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it's real easy for an outsider to look at someone who's famous and come to certain conclusions about why that guy's there.
Sure.
And I understand that. But man, there's a lot behind the curtain. There's a lot. Man, you can buy a certain measure of fame.
That is.
And you can suck. You can make bad music, not perform it well, and you can buy a certain measure of fame and recognition.
Right.
You can also create a facade of fame with money. So, you know, sometimes this guy who's up on stage playing in front of tens of thousands of people, he might be broke.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, man, there's no question about it.
So, you know, that was the only way I could really answer that question for
that
guy.
Well, it's funny to hear you say that because that's exactly what I kind of told him back there. That was my best shot. You do love the freedom of it, man.
Oh,
and
dude,
the fact
that's awesome.
That you're just, man, every day's different. Every day's Saturday, man. I just wake up. I get some coffee.
That is it.
You don't know who's calling on the phone. Man, is this dude at some club in Chicago? And man, or some guy wants to make a record. And man, you just start working it, man. And it's exciting. And yes, it can financially just suck because you're not getting paid on the 1st and 15th.
Right, right.
So there's a lot of loss there on security. But man, yeah, I go, man, you want to get out of bed in the morning.
Man, you hit the nail on the head by saying every day is Saturday. Because I remember for me growing up as a kid, there was not a worse feeling than about 6 o'clock Sunday evening.
Oh, it's that sinking feeling.
That
you needed to start
school
doing
tomorrow.
When the NFL today, CBS game was over.
It goes off. When
Brett Musburger signs
off.
You just have this sinking thing. In
And man, it got to be the same when I had a real job. And man, mm-hmm. the weekend's winding down. And you're just like, dude, I've got 5 days next week of getting up at 5:30, having to be here, having to do this, and man,
having asked permission to go to lunch, you know, just
every day. I haven't had that feeling in almost 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I go to bed at night and I go, what are we gonna do tomorrow? I don't know. Might go to the zoo.
Yeah, right.
Might not do anything. I might not leave my house for 3 days.
Yeah, right.
Which that happened this week.
Yeah, right.
I just hunkered down. And, you know, walked around the house with a putter. And I mean,
every living the dream.
But look, just that's living that right the dream. There. That is a man. There's not a dollar amount you can put on that.
Man,
and
there really is.
And it and look, really you and I both work really, really hard.
Jeff was like, "How many hours a day you work?" I'm like, "Dude, I work every hour, every day."
But yeah, you're always doing something. You're always doing something.
Man, I could be up in Colorado fishing and get a phone call.
Yeah,
from some club. Just, "Hey, man, is that date still good? I got." You know, I'm just sitting there, you know, presenting the dry fly, and I'm still conducting business. He's like, "You working?" I'm like, "Yeah, I mean, kind of. Sure. I mean, now there are sometimes like you got to drive all night, you know, and you got to do this and that." But I think the freedom really figures into it for me, and I think the hard thing, without judging anyone, I don't know anybody's situation. I'm just talking about my situation. I've been tremendously lucky with my family. I got my wife, my kids. We are all doing great. Everyone's healthy. I love being home. That's where I've put most of my effort and time. Everyone goes, man, so you don't love your career? You don't love music? I'm like, no, of course not. Of course I love music.
Yeah.
But it, not as much as my family. There's some priorities there.
Yeah.
So, you know, the most quote-unquote dangerous guy in the music business, significant guy in the music business, is going to be a guy who's not like Matt Powell, a guy who maybe doesn't have a lot of talent, and then isn't married, has no kids, and man, he's going to be able to put his 365 days, 24-hour day work
into doing interviews and
into doing interviews and press. And I said, man, and that's going to pay off. The most extreme example, we did a podcast on Michael Jackson. You know, just that guy that. It had nothing else but that. That was the most important thing. And that's where – and I get rubbed the wrong way sometimes when I see rock stars on these shows or something. Just go, yeah, man, I got divorced, man. But, you know, that's just the way life is, man. You know, and I said, man, you know, and it's just – I know that's how they feel, and I understand. I'm not trying to pass judgment on it. But you know what? The guy's still selling out the Cotton Bowl. He's still touring. He's still living in a mansion in the Hamptons. And, you know, just over the years when his wife would say, hey, I thought we were going to be hanging out. He's like, man, I got my manager in town, honey. I got the band and the guys, and man, we're rehearsing. And, man, I got people counting on me.
I got a girlfriend.
Well, yeah. Well, but my
that's usually the thing.
My point is it takes a real – at some point, you got to go, hey, man, we can't do that tonight. I've got – and I joked with the guy. I go, man, I used to get phone calls to go join card games backstage at Billy Bob's. Hey, man, we're doing some Jaeger. I'm sitting back here. I'm going to play some card. This guy's going to be here. And I'm just like, dude, one of my kids is sick. It's late. I just didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
And you kind of think, well, that's no big deal. But, man, over the years, it is a big deal because you're not in the thing back there. So they called a couple of younger guys, you know, or somebody else with no kids. Just looking to hang out all night. Well, he went there. He someone said yes.
And he's willing to bring the drugs.
And he shows up with full pockets and hangs out. And he meets the radio guy. And, man, they go play golf the next morning. And off he goes. And everyone's like, hey, Phil, how come you're not? And I'm not saying that's what all these guys do, okay? But there's some degree of truth to that, wouldn't you say?
There's no doubt.
I mean, that's part of the thing. I'm just kind of, I go, game. Man, I don't do it, man. It's not that I think it's bad. It's just, it's not for me.
No.
You know, I said, it's just not where I am in my life.
Well, I think you and I are very similar in that there is, if you ask me what is my perfect day like, my perfect day often involves me not leaving the house. My whole
walking around, let me paint.
Okay,
Kurt South's perfect day is he wakes up. Puts on his favorite tattered robe.
What time do I wake up?
About 11:45.
No, you're wrong there.
Oh, really?
Early riser. Dude,
okay.
I love waking up early.
Gets up at 6, puts on a tattered robe.
5:30.
A jug of cheap Carlo Rossi red wine.
Boy, you're wrong. Missing.
Shuffles around the house with like a shotgun over his shoulder and a putter in the other hand.
Now we're talking.
Yeah.
Now we're talking.
Just looks out the back window. He sees his neighbor kind of through the fence.
Take a shot at him.
No, he's just kind of, he doesn't know what he's doing, but you're kind of spying on him and what he's doing. Was he planting grass or something back there and working in the yard? You're keeping tabs on that.
Start throwing rocks over the fence.
You look out the window with your shotgun and you see the same red pickup truck go down the street. You're like, oh, that guy's driven by 2 or 3 times. You know what I mean? Am I right? Am I getting close? Then you make a sandwich, you know, and... You know,
you're it's scary.
Then you call me and go, you know what, Pritchett, we got it made, man. I'm like, well, that's right, Kurt. He goes, you know what?
My favorite thing to do.
My freedom cannot be bought.
My favorite thing to do, and when I leave here today, I'm going to do my favorite. I'm going to go for my family.
Okay.
We're going to, you know, kids are going to go to bed. We're all going to be there together. Mm-hmm. And that is it. Mm-hmm. That is what I enjoy. And you know, 10 years ago, totally different.
Yeah.
I was bringing the goodies and the party was on.
Yeah.
But I, you know, I am almost half my life is over at this point, probably.
Come on.
I mean.
Well, you've already said you went through a midlife crisis like at age 21,
oh,
didn't you?
Man,
age 21, yeah.
Hard.
Yeah.
Hard.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Yeah. But, you know, that's what I, my, you know, being with my family and creating music is what I like to do the most.
And that's what you do.
And that's just what I do. And it doesn't always come with a great benefits package. And, but man, it's, I couldn't trade it. I believe me, I've tried.
Right.
And, man, I tell you what gets you in those mornings when I am up real early and,
yeah,
I'm walking around with my shotgun and my putter, and I'm looking out my window at the dude across the street who's a surveyor.
Yeah,
and he's just loading up his truck. It's still dark outside. He's bundled up. You can tell he's freezing to death.
You just put a shell in the chamber and just say farewell, friend.
Yeah,
have
and
a good day.
You can tell
I'll be here holding down the fort.
That dude is so beaten.
Oh man,
just so beaten. Yeah, and then at about 7 o'clock that night, I'm still holding court by the front window.
Yeah,
Hyatt
keeping watch.
See, my 4-year-old son, he always alerts me as to the coming. Daddy, he's coming home. So he summons me to the window.
Stray dogs, mailmen. So yeah, you know, you
so
kind
I
of
go
jump,
up there and I
put one
look
in the
out.
Chamber.
It's dark again when he gets home.
Yeah.
And he's even more beaten down than when he left. And you know what?
What?
He's only 11 hours from having to do it all over again.
Oh, no.
And it is. Man, we got it made, dude. I'm telling you.
Oh.
We have got it made.
Oh, I need you to tell me that occasionally. Tell me that.
It's all perspective, man.
It is. That's right.
All perspective.
Well, the tide is rolling in. Kurt South and I are on the metaphorical beach here at the end of a... It's kind of our little vacation here.
Will you please put your shirt on?
Well,
we're really not on the beach.
I will here in a second. We just opened up a couple of drinks.
Oh, we've got to talk about the time you and I really were on the beach together for the year.
Oh, that was an all-time podcast. Yeah, we're going to recount some of the golden urban cowboy days out of North Carolina.
We were accused of being lovers.
Oh, my gosh. Stop. Stop it. Well, we're here on the beach recounting the year that was. Certainly a North Carolina story will be in this one. This final segment, so stay tuned as Kurt and I continue to reflect on life and justify our life. And we'll continue here in our next segment on the P2 Podcast. Stay tuned.
She's got a face that knows no concept of fear, 'cause even criminals and never-do-wells vanish each time that she appears. She's got a reputation as somebody who knows how to get things done. She's got a habit of picking up red-hot pots and pans with her bare hands just for fun. She doesn't care about all of the everyday stresses, 'cause she's a bag of nails beneath those colorful dresses. She's tougher than the rest. Tougher than the rest. A little hardship brings out her best. Oh.
Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast. Kurt South and I are here with you, lounging on a metaphorical, musical Texas beach. Oh, exhausted from 52 weeks of podcasts, here and there, of traveling. We're just kind of looking back in awe and somewhat mystified admiration for the year that was for the P2 Podcast. And I can't tell you how many, it seems like there's been just a pop here in about the last month. starting around that Pat Green podcast and quickly after the Owen Temple, where I got, I've been getting emails from San Diego and Seattle and St. Louis, fans of Owen, fans of Pat, fans of us, guys who found us through different avenues, and really musicians, like guys backstage, you know, at some gig in Chicago, and Pat Green's guys say, man, we were talking about the podcast, and my old manager, Troy Johnson, is now managing Bart Crow.
Yeah.
And so he, and I know Troy listens to it a lot. Hello, Johnson.
Love
so
you,
he's
Troy.
He's out there listening. And just out people, some guy will go, man, I started listening to podcasts. I ran into this dude in Nashville. I'm like, who'd you run into? He's just, I just got Troy something. I'm like, Troy Johnson? He goes, oh, yeah, yeah. So we sat there and we listened to it. And anyway, just fun stuff like that. So I hope it's entertaining and fun. It's just nothing more than me sharing my existence out there in such turbulent musical times. The like that we've never seen in my lifetime. Maybe when... recorded music was invented, and that was a big wave. But dude, there's nothing like the internet, man. The post Napster era has just been
the World Wide Web. You mean
the World Wide Web? The birth. It's just been a phenomenal deal to be in. And you and me are just old enough to remember kind of the old days of tonnage. You know, selling 10 million cassette tapes and. Vinyl records and CDs and you know, and just it's weird because I told Larry the other day, I said, man, he's talking about like, man, where's the business going? Is it all about the single or the album or the, are people going to tour? Are people going to do this? And I'm just like, I'm sitting here in a nice studio. I got a catalog of material. I got gigs to play. I got a podcast I do. I got tons of, I'm slammed with stuff to do, but man, where does it all head? We knew in the 90s. You wanted the record deal that gave you an advance for $250,000. You wanted a publishing deal that gave you $5,000 a month to turn in your songs. That was the play, man. Mm-hmm. And now I said, I go, man, it's kind of like that book, The Road by Cormac McCarthy, which I haven't read, but I'm going to reference it anyway. Because I know it's a post-apocalyptic deal. I go, man, all of us musicians, we're just glad to be alive. We're all out there just scavenging through the ash, just sort of... We don't even know if New York City's still there. We don't even know we're trying to get to. We're just kind of roaming around the countryside. You know, and if you can get through the day and eat and be with your family, you're doing better than most. You know, and that's not to say it's a bad thing. It's just different, a changed landscape forever. I think that marks this last year of the podcast most of all, would you say?
I would agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, there are no answers. We mm-hmm. all have ideas about where it's going. I mean, I think we have some pretty good... clues as to where it's going. I really do. But I think there's so much resistance to that change because it's simply been ingrained in us that, hey, this is the way you do it. This is the way it works.
You make albums and, you know, I talked to my good friend Wes Cunningham was on the podcast and he's got a studio in Waco, records, you know, and stuff. And he does great pop stuff. And man, I really listen to a lot of Steely Dan and stuff. Some of these really 70s recordings that Steely Dan famously didn't really even tour at their peak, you know. They were just a studio band. They put out these great pieces of music and, you know, but for so long, the last 25 years, you're kind of like, man, but you got to tour, man. You got to go on MTV and make videos and all this stuff. And you wonder if maybe those days are coming back, if it might be possible for some band to create something so great. You go, man, they get together once a year. They record like 6 or 7 songs, put it on iTunes, and God, it's great. I can't wait till it comes out. It's awesome. You know, I don't know. It's like a side project that's totally a studio nerd thing.
Well, Gnarls Barkley, isn't that what they
were?
There
you go. That's right. Yeah, he was kind of like that.
I mean, I think, man, I really think right now people always take, man, you just got a tour. You got to be putting 200 dates.
There's a good example of just a single that was so badass.
It sold like how many millions of copies?
Oh, my God. I have no idea.
I remember when I lost my mind. How good it felt.
Yeah. Dude.
But I really, man, I think touring is overrated.
And I agree.
I've done it. Look, now back in...
To
grow your audience. I think your audience nowadays finds you online. That's prove that. I can show you where this guy found me here, this guy found me there.
Right, right.
And man, I get checks deposited into my bank account.
For $14.
All the time.
Yeah.
From sales in Europe or Australia or wherever, and you're like, these people have never seen me live, but yet they're at least a fan on a certain level.
Are you listening out in Australia? Welcome, welcome.
So I didn't go tour to win those people over.
Right, right.
So don't tell me that touring is the way you really develop. I think touring helps, but I think word touring really works. Its role is to see how you're doing
right
in a certain market.
Tell
hey,
you
man, I think we've been selling a lot of stuff in Memphis. Let's go see. We show up, 200 people show. Okay, we're doing well in Memphis.
Or better yet, some guy in Memphis calls and goes, dude, me and my friends love all your stuff. We have this party every year at my parents' lake house. We got a deck out there. We want to bring you guys in. That's the best phone call you can get. I just go, dude, those are the gigs you just live to play. I tell it to people all the time. I'm like, man, don't make me call some bar 100 times trying to get it.
No,
I quit
no.
doing that. I just go, man, if we need to go somewhere. And sometimes it's a bar. Sometimes it's a guy. We've had calls from guys who say, man, I own this little bar, this tamale place in Bernie, Texas. This guy called me. Really nice. And he just goes, dude, I mean, we have bands. Dude, we'd really love to have y'all down here. So we just work out a deal and we go do it. I'm just like, man, great. I wouldn't even know he was there. I don't know. So
I think, you know, that's how, you know, next week I'm going out to Mississippi to play. First
that's right.
time
yeah,
I ever
yeah.
played out in Mississippi, man, there was a ton of people out there.
Yeah.
Most of them knew every word to several of my songs.
Yeah.
I'm like, how do you guys
on shot guitar?
The internet, man. Yeah. We found you on the internet. So I already had these guys as fans before I had seen any of them in person. And so the show is a success. Now, if the internet hadn't intervened and gotten them on board with my music and I had just gone and played a show out there, I wouldn't have built any sort of a fan base. So I think down the road there will be those acts who can do the Steely Dan thing. And, man, I mean, if I – and guys like you and I aren't that far away from being able to just say, man, we sell 20,000 downloaded albums a year, and we sell another 60,000 individual downloads.
Yeah.
And that's the base of our business, and we do 30 shows a year, you know?
Yeah, right. That'd be,
I mean,
that'd be awesome, wouldn't it?
But I think you don't hear a lot of music business people saying that's a viable business model, but, man, how can it not be?
Oh, man, yeah.
At some point, there's going to be, you know, Gnarls Barkley didn't make their money from touring. They made their money because they had that one song that was just...
Everybody had.
Everybody had it. So I think that that's something to look at down the road where, you know, the internet does your touring for you.
That's
and
right.
it does it more efficiently. It does. Touring costs a fortune.
Right.
Next week, I will probably lose money when we go out. even though we'll have have really good turnouts at the shows. But, man, I'm taking – there's a bunch of people going with us. We're taking a huge vehicle that's going to eat up gas.
Yeah.
Hotel rooms. The list goes on. And that didn't mean that if I don't go tour that no one's going to know your music. Well, I would say that more people can know my music without me touring, and I can sit back and let them come.
What do you think at this point? The great Gary P. Nunn comes on here the other day. An old schooler, man. I mean, a Texas legend, right? Ever since the war.
Oh, yeah.
Just talking about the home of the armadillo, writing it with Michael Martin Murphy over there in London. I want to go home with the armadillo. Oh, man. It was great. And he said something that was true, but I wondered. You were talking about, you know, just put some stuff online, people know you, they email you and all that stuff. None labored people who listened to his at the end of the podcast, he kind of went into a little bit about kind of his show. And if you've seen Gary P. Nunn, he does, the band kind of comes on, and then someone says, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Gary P. Nunn, and he kind of, the lights kind of flicker, and he comes out, right? And he does his show, and it's great. And he sings, and then he closes, you know, and puts the guitar down, the band kind of plays him off. He goes off the stage. And it's the show you've seen a lot of guys do. They do that kind of stuff.
Merle Haggard does that.
Showmanship.
Yeah.
Showmanship. And I love it. I appreciate it. And the full band and I, when we had Jordan Powell in the band, he would set up our gear. We'd take the stage. We had some intro music we'd play every night, you know, play the intro music, pump up the crowd, we'll go on there. And it seemed to have some effect. People would kind of stand at the front and stuff. It was good show business, as P. Nunn said. That's good show business. Good show business. But I wonder if that is maybe not as true as it once was, because I understood his point completely. But you know what? While he was saying that, I found a little part of myself kind of wondering if that is kind of antiquated thinking to some
very archaic
to some extent. Do you think that's true? The show elements.
No, the show
I'm a star. It's harder to fool people, isn't it? Not fool them, but you know what I'm saying.
But you know what? People are. I watched the Grammys the other night, and it was the most horrible display of pretense and BS I've ever seen in my life. And I am a worse person for having seen it, as is the rest of
America. I've noticed that since you've come in here.
And the show has been taken out of show business.
Yeah.
Because there are not the barriers between the people who create the music and the people who consume it anymore. There doesn't have to be.
Right.
And in fact, the consumer, I think, resents all those barriers. And I think they like viewing the music that they like and the creators of it. They like seeing them as being down in the trenches with them.
Right. They're in business with the guy. Here. Right.
You know what? I watched Beyonce and just threw up on myself.
Because right there on your couch?
Yes, on my beautiful, beautiful microfiber couch.
Oh, you just barfed all over your robe and your shotgun?
She embodies the, I'm up here, you're down there, I'm this goddess. Worship me, you all.
She would just descend from the rafters between songs, right?
I mean, if I'd had my shotgun when Pink descended, I would have.
Would you have just taken the TV out if you had your shotgun?
Yes.
Shell in the chamber.
If I didn't like my TV, I would have done it.
Oh man!
But I think at a certain, you know, we learn from the Rolling Stones and bands like that. But man, that's history. That is not relevant to music anymore.
You think that's right?
Yes, I believe that with all my heart.
See, I have the disadvantage of not having been to a lot of shows. I mean, I don't, unless they're mine or watching some other band play. And there's not, in the Texas music business, there's not a whole lot of showmanship. Not as much.
But the ones who, I've saw a show recently where they tried to do that. And
well, that's the point you made to me the other day.
It turned off people. They're just like, dude, who is this guy think he is? You're in a certain venue that...
There's a couple guys playing
pool.
Well,
he's in a venue that I play all the time.
Yeah. There's some dude walking in front of him with a flashlight.
And I'm just like, dude...
People want a show, man. It's just
no,
like,
they don't.
If you're going to do that, you better be a star.
Yeah.
Big already.
If you're a star, then that's fine. But that's an old generation of stardom to a certain extent.
I think that might be right.
I really, truly believe that people have a BS meter and people have less of an appetite for all the pretense. And I think they appreciate the guy who looks like them, acts like them, talks like them. They feel that, man, this guy is really speaking for me. Because that, at its essence, people like music because they feel like it's a mouthpiece for how they feel. And I don't see how anyone can watch Pink lip-syncing flying around on her back and go, man, that's exactly what I was feeling. No one feels that unless you're on dope.
Yeah.
That's stupid. But the guy who's just up there being genuine, a guy like Ray LaMontagne, who just, he goes up there in a flannel shirt and work boots. And
when he's done, does he walk off the front of the stage and like?
Well, no, he doesn't do that.
Help you.
No, but I think that's why people
pick up your
like
dishes.
Him.
Yeah,
I think that's why people like him because there's nothing in between you and him and his music. There's no show except him and his guitar.
Mm-hmm.
That is it. That's all you're getting out of it. But that's enough. That's all they want. When you've got Beyonce singing this terrible song, and she's not even singing it that well.
Yeah,
but there's all these dancers and people dressed like robots and all this stuff. Well, that's because you got to have something going on because the music sucks.
Yeah,
and I will say that till the day I die. You've got to have all that. Taylor Swift has to do costume changes and all that because at the end of the day, she's purveying a load of crap and she can't even sing the load of crap that they give her to sing.
Ouch! Come on,
dude, it's true. Tell me I'm wrong.
Dude, a lot of people would say Dylan and Petty and Neil Young can't sing either, but they write their own songs. That's good enough for us. You don't agree? How come she doesn't get the free pass? Everyone's going to throw her under the bus as a phony. What if she'd have lip-synced or auto-tuned? You think people would be more pissed? Probably. They just go, oh, she's lip-syncing auto-tune. So she sings
real.
Well,
it was
a rough performance.
I will say this.
Yeah.
She does get a... She's in a no-win situation there.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
But I think when you're talking about guys like Neil Young and Dylan, and Robert Earl Keane's a good example, and doesn't have a good voice.
Yeah, man, he's pitchy sometimes. So,
but,
you know.
But man, those guys have always operated on the fringes in a different world.
Yeah.
She is a pop star where it's all supposed to be this perfect package, and it is sold to us as a perfect package, when in fact it is very flawed. And
yeah.
I think... Those guys have done nothing but get up there and play for years. You know, she knows that she has to make it. She has to overload your senses,
right?
Because that's part of the smoke and mirrors game. That, hey, you know, there's really not a lot here. And man, you know, there might not be that much behind Neil Young either.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm so tired of people talking about Neil Young at this point. If I have another guy wearing skinny jeans and a beard telling me about Neil Young, I'll turn the shotgun on myself. Okay, we've all heard it. But you might not like Robert O'Keefe's voice the way it sounds, but he's hitting the notes.
There's a difference. You would say Petty hits the notes. I mean,
there's a big difference between musically I can hit the notes, but you might not like the timbre of my voice.
Right.
I see that.
Right.
There's a difference between that and I can't even hit the notes. In fact, I don't even know what key this song is in because my guitar tech forgot to tell me, or they didn't write it on my cell. There's real, and there's I'm trying to sell you a load of crap, and I really hope you buy it.
Yeah.
Because I.
Where do we go from here? We have 1 year of the podcast behind us. The sun is setting here on the beach. It's been a great retrospective. As this year comes around, the podcast has more listeners than ever.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fact. There's interest from some radio stations, regional websites wanting to carry the show. We may be reaching more people than ever.
Mm-hmm.
For us, which is very exciting. And thank all you fans out there for spreading the good word. But don't tell everybody that we're here. Just tell deserving souls out there to pay attention. What should we do? Keep doing what we're doing, but I don't know. Broadcast in another environment. Certain guests you'd like to see? What? Anything on the podcast?
I think you ought to turn me loose on the street with a wireless mic.
Oh, no.
To get just random feedback.
Just go over here to Bogart's and interview some drunks at the bar and just kind of see what's going on.
I think we need to make this thing mobile. We need to broadcast from, like, a gig somewhere.
You know what I'd love to do?
We need to broadcast live shows, live performances. Why not?
Huh?
What do you mean, why?
I don't know. Just go record some guy playing at the White Elephant for seven people?
No, what kind of show are we talking about? One of our shows.
Oh, there we go. Okay. Yeah.
I don't care what those other guys... I hate other musicians. I don't care what they're doing.
So shall we come to maybe do a broadcast from a Kurt South gig? Do I sit there and just kind of do a play-by-play on what's going on?
Either or.
Kurt, he started the song. He's moving to his left, bobbing his head a little bit. He's singing. Now he's singing.
Will Hobbs looks like he's had a few too many cocktails.
He's sliding off the stool, but he saves it. Kurt South, he's got a look in his eye. Yes, indeed, Phil.
Pedal steel player has just been fired on stage, but not like his monitor mix at all,
and you can see it all over his face. Yeah, that's right. No hiding it there. Maybe we'll do play-by-play of a Kurt South gig. You know what I mean?
Let's do it.
A mic. Like, they'll say, man, we'll be broadcasting a Kurt South show. They think they're going to hear some live Kurt South concert. No, it's just me watching your show and just doing a play-by-play of what's going on.
It'd be brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Think that would work?
I think
is that good radio? Is that, or whatever this is, podcast?
Is what we've been doing good radio?
Is it radio? Is it even radio? I don't know. It's something. We're just invented something here.
We did.
We didn't invent the podcast, but... We're doing,
but we've perfected it. There's no doubt about that.
We do these podcast things, but unlike a radio station where you listen one day and that's it, these episodes seem to live in. They're like albums. You make some album. Hey man, did you hear the people say? Yeah. Man, I went back and listened to your first episode, or I went back and listened to the Buddy Huffman deal.
Oh, the great Buddy.
Or you know what I mean? Or people, that's kind of weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not like local radio where you just
or Rush Limbaugh
or something. You listen to it one day, then the next day there's something and. You don't catalog. You don't go back and listen to those guys' broadcasts.
No.
You know, just
no. I think there's a lot. I think there's plenty of ways we could trick it up just a little bit.
Yeah.
How about the next big P2 solo gig? I sit on stage on a stool and broadcast while you're playing.
Just muttering the whole time, and mumbling, and just doing a little play by play.
Looks like Phil is he tougher than the rest. Here we go. You hear the crowd? Wrong song. Phil has walked off the stage.
In disgust.
I've never seen Phil drink this many beers in one night.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he's heading right to the bathroom. Appears to be crying.
Oh, shut up. Well, folks, that has been a year in review the last couple of weeks. Kurt South, kind enough to be here. He was there when it all started. Episode 1, where we just came on the air. muttering, stammering.
Oh, it was awful.
Just, you know, it's not that bad. You know, about episode 4 or 5 is when I started saying, fans, Romans, countrymen, live in your ears. Welcome to the P2 podcast. And that's where it kind of started. It started to find its feet a little bit there.
Now, what I would like to know, do people appreciate just the raw honesty? The people like the...
I don't know.
Man, because I've had some people who email me, and you can tell they're offended, but they don't know if they should be offended.
Offended with what? Your opinions?
Why would you say that, you know, outside of a private conversation? I don't know. I think that's what makes it unique is that,
I don't know,
we have an opinion.
This is how we talk when there's no microphones.
I think that's kind of the appeal, maybe, but maybe it isn't. Maybe so.
Well, you know, it's like today. You know, you choose what you listen to, what you watch, what time you watch it, what time you listen to it. You don't have to listen to us. Everybody knows that.
Wow, Phil Pritchard just throwing the gauntlet down. If you don't like it, don't listen.
Well, you know, I mean, there's a billion other podcasts out there. Million other distractions.
You think Taylor Swift has a podcast?
I don't know. Maybe I should get her on the show. Maybe she get on the show.
I love it.
Huh? I'm going to email her a request.
Do it.
Well, I just admire her for writing her own songs. I don't know much for stuff, you know, but, you know.
You write your own songs.
Yeah.
Writing your own material, you should not be lauded for doing that if you're an artist like her. That should be part of the deal. He writes his own songs, though. Whoop-de-freaking-do. So does everybody.
Yeah.
And make Zach Huckabee famous.
That's right.
Make
dude.
All of us famous. Come on, write your own songs. There's a million songwriters out there. The highways are littered with them.
Right. That's right. Well, folks, a year in review.
Long live Zach Brown, though. That guy at the Grammys.
He did pretty good.
Dude, that guy's talented. He really is.
Yeah, he is. Well, you heard it here first.
I like his beard.
South talking about Zach Brown and Taylor Swift. That'll send you off into that good night.
Yeah,
song in your heart. Well, man, what a great year. One more year to go here. Certainly. I certainly hope we're here a year from now, looking back on another great year of the podcast.
I haven't had a drink or a drug in 398 days.
Is that right?
I'm just kidding. Well, no, seriously, I haven't been counting. No, I didn't. I just...
Well, join us next week. Good grief. I'm going to wind this up before it just totally goes
just
downhill.
Hanging off the cliff.
Just hanging off the cliff. We're just dragging on here. Kurt South has been here. Thank you, South.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for a great year of great one-liners, great material, and a lot of hot opinions on music.
Rehab will not get in the way of this year.
Dude,
I will be at every podcast.
Please don't let it. Thank you very
rehab
much.
Rehab or jail, they're out of the equation this
out
year.
Out of the equation.
Big year in 2010.
That's good, man. Lots of podcasts. Yes. Well, for Phil Pritchett, email me, phil@philpritchett.com, or call me 817-733-5256. Come record here at the studio. We can make you an album in one day, or we can run it out for a month. You tell me what you're trying to do. We'll do it. And, as we said earlier on the podcast, the full band, or Kurt South, will come play for you wherever you may be. If you got a club, a festival, you're having a cookout.
Sock hop.
You know.
Barn dance.
Fifth grade graduation
bar
party.
Mitzvah.
Something like that. Give us a call.
Wine tasting.
Go download all Phil Pritchett and Kurt South music at iTunes. Or you go to p2tunes.com and download all of our albums for $4 a piece, including the new one, Alive and Alone, 24 songs for $4. What a great year it has been. Here's to a great 2010. We will see you next week on the podcast. Phil Pritchett here. Take care.
Well, don't look now, but it's in the news. Time to make up your mind and time to choose. But I see nothing to gain and nothing to lose. Yes, I think I've read this book before. But when I put it down, I didn't look for any more. But now that's all I see staring back at me in the store. I don't wanna walk like other people walk. I don't wanna talk like other people talk. I don't wanna hear someone tell me, Phil, I told you so. I just wanna find my own way and be happy with where I go. case ended with a bluff. All the celebutants are strutting their stuff. But if this is the news, please, I've had enough. I don't wanna walk like other people walk. I don't wanna talk like other people talk. And I don't wanna hear someone tell me, man, I told you so. Just wanna find my own way and be happy with where I go. Being a star. They say it's easy to forget who you really are. Hey. In the land where the poor get fatter while the wealthy starve themselves. I don't wanna walk like other people walk. I don't wanna talk like other people talk. And I don't wanna hear someone tell me.